Okay, today is Wednesday, October 25th. This is the Women's Chumash Shiur. We're up to Bereshit, Perek Tedvav, Pasuk Bet. Okay, Rabotai, we are up to Bereshit, Perek Tedvav, Pasuk Bet. We started last week the beginning of Perek Tedvav, where after the story of the battles of the four kings versus the five kings, the Torah tells us, Achar hadvarim ha'ele hayad var Hashem el Avram b'machazel lemor, Al tira Avram anochi magen lach secharcha habei ma'od. So we pointed out that Avram was concerned about a couple of items after the battle, that recognizing that the odds in the battle were stacked against him, he knew that it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine protection that enabled him to emerge unscathed in his battle with the various kings, and that he perhaps used up all of his merits at that particular battle, and that's why he expressed an element of fear. He never said so, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu read his mind. And that's why God's opening remarks is, don't worry, Scharcha Harbei Ma'od, I'll protect you, I'm going to protect you from any revenge that might be visited upon you, which should be expected. Some of the descendants of the various kings who were defeated might decide to take up the initiative. So God says, don't worry, I'll protect you, and your reward is plenty great. So there are various interpretations, reward in the world to come, reward in this world, and that's what we said last week. So now let's take a look at Avram's response, which requires, again, numerous interpretations. Vayomer Avram, and Avram says, Hashem Elohim, Matiten li, God, what could you possibly give me that will make me feel comfortable? Ve'anochi holeich ariri, I am unfortunately childless. Uben meshek beiti, and the person who is responsible for my internal affairs, who Damesek Eliezer. He is my faithful servant who comes from Damesek, from Damascus. That's what Avram says. So, and then he continues, Vayomer Avram, Hein li lo nasata zara. You didn't give me a child. Vihine ben beiti yoreshoti. Somebody who just grew up in my house, named Eliezer, is going to inherit me. So, well, we have to see. It seems to be just an obvious repetition of what he just said. So let's first focus on what he did say, and then we'll try to interpret the repetition. Yes?
In the inheritance laws, wives don't inherit.
That is correct. Now, but in this case, he was not talking about from a halachic standpoint. So even if Sarai were to inherit him, but what happens when she dies? There are no other... Yes?
Is there any connection between Ben Meshek and Meshek, or this happens to be the same roots?
No, Meshek is not.
Meshek
is Damascus.
Ben Meshek
is Damascus. Meshek has a different root. Yitshin Kuf... It says in Parshat Miketz that when Yosef was elevated, who was Yishak et Beiti, Paro says. It means, that's what it means, the same thing. He will be in charge of my household. Eliezer ran his affairs. He filled out the checkbook, balanced the checkbook, paid off all the bills, paid off the credit cards. That's what he did. So let's take a look as we see what's running through Avram's mind. Would anybody like to ask a question based on something that we already learned and was stated quite emphatically?
Yes.
which would shock you about Avram's response as to why he's afraid? Or what could you possibly offer to me based on something we did already learn so I can hold you accountable? What did it say in chapter 12 of Sefer Bereishit? The whole chapter. Yes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already promised him that what's going to happen? He's going to be converted into a great nation, and he told him, Lecha u'zaracha etein et haaretz hazot. He already told him, I'm going to give you this land, you and to your children. So it should be a little unusual that Avram here says, what could you possibly give me if I am childless? Okay, right now you are still childless. But if you believe in God, which we assume he did, why is he suddenly expressing this, that I am childless and I'm going to die without a child? Yes?
Well, he would have said that he was concerned that he was double and split out. So even if God promises to him, that doesn't mean that the promise will stand.
Okay, that's perhaps, that he used up his schuyot, okay. That's a possibility. But usually when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something, he guarantees it. Usually when he says something, he guarantees it. Yeah?
Do you mean Esau?
No, Esau is not his son. That's Yitzchak's son.
Okay, who's Abraham's
other son? Yishmael. He wasn't born yet either. He hasn't been born yet either. Right. So that's going to happen a little later when he has Yishmael. God's going to have to tell him, Ki bi Yitzchaki karei lechazara. Yeah.
But it has to do with the Yatharan, Dvarim Ha'ela. He's just had contact with Lot, who in some way could be from Beito, and he sees he's a hopeless case. So now all he's left with is a non-relative.
Okay. That's a good suggestion. That's a good suggestion. Yeah.
Could just be that he's getting old and he sees that maybe the time is coming that he's going to pass on, and Sarah is also old, as he says later on. So, and all these things are happening to him, so maybe he feels vulnerable and he's...
Okay, good. But I want to challenge that, not me, many parshanim, in trying to amplify the question. We read at the end of Noah, we read through it rather quickly, all of the children who were born up until Noah, the 10 generations between Adam and Noah. And when did most of them have their first child? How old were they? About 100 something, 200. So giving birth at age 100 was nothing unusual at that particular time. So why suddenly should he feel I've been excluded from children because I'm 90 something years old at this particular time? He's a young chicken compared to some of the other people who have given. So keep this question in mind as we go through this. So yes. What? I have no idea whether they were Sephardim who married women who were 50 years younger than them. Let's assume they're Ashkenazim, so they're within 5 years of each other. I don't know. I can't answer that question because not one wife is mentioned. So it certainly doesn't tell us what their age is. Right. So Rashi himself, only comments on the word Ariri in Pasuk Bet. And Ariri, says Rashi, is Yoresh, according to Menachem, who was a grammarian, which Rashi quotes frequently. And it means an inheritor without children. Somebody else is going to what? Inherit my estate, which is the simple pshat of what's running through Rashi's mind. However, I'd like to take a look at... please take your sheets first, and let's read the Ramban, who raises the question that I asked and provides one answer. But let's take a look at the Ramban on page number 1. Vayomer Avram Hashem Elohim Mati Tenli. How about that phrase? What question would you ask? On that phrase alone. What question, which is an unusual, doesn't appear very frequently when people are speaking. Exactly. Why would he mention two names of God? Hashem, Elohim. What? Okay, so let's you have to ask the question. Why? Usually, when people are in dialogue, they don't refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in two ways. The only time that God is referred to in multiple ways, it happens frequently, but God's the speaker in the name of Moshe. Moshe says, this is what God told me to say. But somebody who is speaking to God rarely calls him Hashem Elokim. So let's see if there's anything to be said. Let's take a look at the Ramban. Hine hitzaltani min hamalachim. I know that you, God, spared me from those kings. Aval lo min hikareit, aval min hakareit lo hivtachta oti. You have not guaranteed that I'm not going to die suddenly. Right now, I have no guarantees. Rak amarta shitarbeli sechar harbe. You only said that what? That I'm going to get a long reward, an enormous reward. Umayyeh sechari below banim. What benefit can I possibly accrue, even if you were to fulfill that which you said, namely, I would give you an enormous reward? It's worthless if I can't pass that reward on to a member of my own flesh. V'hine lo ala b'da'ato sh'yeh haschar hagadol ba'olam haba. It didn't enter his mind that this reward is focused on what? On the world to come. Why? Ki zeh ain't sorech lahavtacha. That doesn't require a promise from God that He's going to reward you in the world to come. Ki kol oved Elohim yimatze chayim lefanav. There is a guarantee that if you are a God-fearing individual, that the reward in the world to come is absolutely guaranteed for any person who conducts him or herself appropriately. Ach ba'olam hazeh, however in this world, yesh tzadikim shemagia alehem kima'aseh harusha'im. There are tzadikim in this world who are destined to live a life as if they were what? A terrible rasha. They will be poverty stricken, they might be in physical pain, ill, and they might, unfortunately, not be blessed with what? Having children. Al-Kain tzrichim bitachon. Therefore, if you wanted to make sure that you will be rewarded in this world as well, then you have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for somewhat of a guarantee. There are no guarantees in this world whatsoever that a person will have a life that would be commensurate with the life of a tzaddik. That is only in Olam Haba. In Olam Hazeh, there are multiple reasons why, and there are various theories, but the Ramban here doesn't choose to elaborate what that theory is, other than tell us the facts. The facts are that a lot of outstanding tzaddikim lived miserable lives in this world. I'm going to get to that in 2 seconds. Yes, excellent. Ve'od ki harbe hirba me'od lemar sheyizkeh l'shtei shulchanot b'chol hatov haru'ui l'tzadikim admurim me'ein onesh klal. What Avraham was looking for was a guarantee from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that what? That his world, his reward should be shtei shulchanot, two tables. one table in Olam Abba, which I have no questions about, but my question is, I want a table in this world as well that's full of goodies. And therefore, he virtually challenges HaKadosh Baruch Hu by saying, Mati Tenli. Well, this great financial reward that you're promising me is of no significance to me. Yeah.
His relationship with God has changed so drastically from when God said, Lechotha, and he followed blindly, and now all of a sudden he's questioning and challenging, what am I getting in return?
Okay, so I'm going to show you what's happening at this particular time. I'll just give you an answer right now, and then we'll see elaborated in the Midrash. Each of the Avot, when it came time, when they sensed that their end was near and coming, often went off on this track of saying, I have to start worrying about these things at this point in my life. So the Midrash will show that Yaakov was concerned about it, that Yitzchak was concerned about it, even though Avram was concerned about it a little more, but that's the theory. And that people know when their end is coming, even though Avram, he was wrong about that. He lived another 75 years, because almost 85. He's about 90 years old at this particular time. At the end of the Parsha, when Brit Milah will be commanded, he's 99. So right now he's somewhere between 90 and 100, and we know he lives till 175, so he wasn't exactly as accurate as the Midrash will portray it, even though Yitzchak and Yaakov, they were much more on target as to when they sensed they were going to pass on, and therefore made whatever request they made at that particular time. Yeah. Okay. Oh, okay. Ve'od, says the Ramban. Ve'od, ki haftacha lema shehaya mityare mimenu, ve'chazaru piresh lo haftachato, shelo yipached gam mizeh. Ki yasim zaro ki chochvei hashamayim l'rov. That the reason why Avram, he heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm going to protect you. That's fine. But he was looking for some type of assurance that he could rest in peace, knowing that there would be some heir to all of the reward. It's not really a second interpretation, just a repeat of the first argument. I don't feel that I've been rewarded properly. Don't call that a reward if I don't have somebody to what? To serve as my heir. The part of a person's perspective is that an individual never is prepared to expire completely from this world. But we feel very comfortable knowing that we are going to expire. As long as what? Our values and what we stood for will be transmitted to the next generation. If that generation absorbs what I try to teach, that enables me to pass away with a much more comfortable feeling and to remove the anxiety about the finiteness of a human being. And that's what Avram's going through. That I'm approaching old age, and I can't really, I don't want to face the prospect that what I stood for is going to come to a grinding halt and shall never ever be perpetuated by anybody. And that's much more than to whom shall I give all of the gold and silver that you're promising me in the phrase of Sicharcha Harbe Ma'od. The legacy that a person can leave via his or her children is something that enables us to come to grips with the limited number of years that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has granted for us. So the Ramban then he asks the question, V'yesh olecha lish'ol shikvar ne'emar lo li Avraham ki et kol ha'aretz asher ata ro'eh Licha etnena ulezaracha ad olam, v'samti et zaracha ka'afar ha'aretz, ve'eich yomar ata, ve'onochi holech ariri, v'hinei ben beiti yoresh oti. How could Avram possibly challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu if we learned previously that God already assured him that what's going to happen? This land is going to be given lecha ulizaracha. How can you possibly challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'lama lo he'emin b'nevuah harishona ka'ashe ya'amin bazot. If God's going to tell him now and relieve his anxiety, why should he believe him now and didn't believe him in the first case? And if he believed him the first time, why does he have to ask and question him at this point in time? It's a very interesting question. V'hatshuva ki hatzadikim lo ya'aminim ba'atzmam. Tzadikim never believe that they are righteous enough. Bechetam bishgaga. They think that they may have done something wrong, never deliberately. Deliberately they would never transgress. But what did they do? They did something bishgaga. They forgot. They didn't they didn't carry themselves as appropriately as perhaps they should have. But never deliberately. But it's bishgaga. V'ukatuv, and it's written, rega adaber al goy, v'al mamlacha livnot ulintoa, v'shav hagoy hahu, v'asa hara lefanai, v'nichamti ala tova. So Yirmiyahu says that times HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have in mind that a particular nation and kingdom should be successful in building and planting Livnot v'Livtoa. And then what happens? They do something wrong. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Nichamti. Maza nichamti? I regret. I'm sorry that I ever promised them that they would succeed. Vihine ra'a atzmo baba yamim. He noticed himself getting a little more advanced in years. V'lo nitkaima nevuato. And the prophecy of God has not yet been fulfilled. V'choshav, as somebody here suggested, ki chata'av min'o hatov. His transgressions now precluded even the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from being fulfilled. V'ulai chashash ata, perhaps he also was concerned, something that we mentioned last week, pen ye anesh al hanefashot sheharag k'divrei rabotenu. We saw the midrash last week, that he is going to get punished for having killed all of the incidental damage that takes place during the war. You don't only kill soldiers, you kill people, regular citizens. U'kilashon hazeh amru b'bereshit, b'bereshit rabbah. In later on in Parshas Vayishlach, Vayira Yaakov Me'od Vayetzer Lo. Yaakov was very much afraid and it bothered him. Mikan She'ein Haftacha L'Tzadikim Ba'olam Hazeh. That in this world there is never any guarantee, even for a tzaddik, that they're going to live a perfectly tranquil life. So that's one of the ways in which the Ramban deals with the famous, most troubling issue, Rasha v'tovlo, tzaddik v'ralo. Why is it that people who appear as tzaddikim ultimately suffer? So the Ramban says, because the promise of reward is only in the world to come. That's how the Ramban handles it. Ramban handles it. I think I once told you the Ramban doesn't agree with that. Remember how the Rambam says, to answer this particular question, that God has his pet favorites of mitzvot. Pet favorites. We don't know what they are. And he's got his pet peeve of a rote. So one, you can engage in one mitzvah that overrides 500 averot, because you hit the bullseye, and you can violate one averah that overcomes 500 mitzvot. So the idea is, when you think somebody's a tzaddik, he's not such a great tzaddik. So the Rambam doesn't want to shift it l'olam haba. He thinks that the way you see people today is what they should be rewarded or punished in this world. But there is no way for us to correctly identify what is defined as a tzaddik and who is defined as a rasha. So if you see a tzaddik suffering, know that he hit the pet peeve one that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not terribly thrilled with. And if you see Al Capone, then you know he did something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually likes. And therefore he's living a life of Riley. Kacha lomein haramban.
This would explain why Shein HaTefela said Yikim Lomaseh would really explain why Avram uses the word Hashem.
Correct.
Forgive me, Rachamim.
Good. Because if I'm going to use Midat Hadin, I know I'm lost. Precisely. Correct. That's why Avram invokes both names of God, Hashem Elohim. Knowing that if I don't deserve the merit based on judgment, which Elohim represents, so I'm asking you for a chesed. Do me a favor. That's all. Do me a favor. Precisely, that's exactly, fits in very well with the Ramban's theory. Yeah. Now, take a look at the bottom of the page. Or Achayim raises the identical question as the Ramban. You probably saw it in the Ramban. And has a different answer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the question which the Ramban raises. Let's take a look at it. Kashe. Eich yuchal lomar lo nasata, v'halo kvar hiftichuvo amar lo, v'samti et zaracha kafar aretz. Umalo l'fakpeik, chas v'shalom b'divrei Hashem. How can he possibly quarrel with God when God assured him, you're going to have children. They will be so plentiful that they will be equated to the granules of the sand. Two, Omro Hain Li. He writes in the Pasuk says Avram, in Pasuk Gimel, Vayom Avram Hain Li Lo Nasata Zara. So Or HaChaim's going to ask the question, well, obviously it's Li. Who else are you talking about? It could have said, Hain lo nasata zara. You haven't given me children. Haven't given children. Obviously we're talking about Avram. Doesn't mean Li. What do you need that for? And thirdly, Tzarech ladat gimel hakavana ba'omro v'hi ben beiti yoresh oti. Achar she'ein lo zera mali im yoresh oto ben beito o acher. What if he doesn't have children of his own? What difference does it make to Avram who actually will inherit it? So it'll be his servant. So, and if it would be somebody else, what difference does it really make? But he focuses on his first question. Achen kavanat hakatuv hi al zeh haderech. And I'm going to ask you to take a peek someplace, and then you'll tell me what he said without looking inside. Don't cheat. Look at Pasuk Hey. Look at Pasuk Hey and tell me, what is the difference between Pasuk Hey of God's response versus the previous God commitment, and tell me what our Chaim says. What's the difference in the imagery? It's the same promise, but the imagery is vastly different. What?
The difference between the stars and the God.
The original promise was that Zaracha yeh ka'afar ha'aretz. The second promise is that what?
Stars.
That Zaracha yeh ki what? Ki chokhvei ha'shamayim. So now, says the Arachayim, what do you think is running through Avram's mind? It's not that he didn't believe that God would fulfill his promise. Well, what type of children will he be given birth to? To the children who are considered like you step on the ground, the lowlifes. That's what Or HaChaim says. That I'm going to give birth to children who are nothing spectacular. Nothing spectacular. Like the Rashi says in Parshas Ekev, Sha'adam Dash. It's like you step on them with your heel. You don't consider them very significant. So now, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to him? You know what? That's not what I had in mind. What did I have in mind? I want your children will emerge kichokvei hashamayim larov, like the stars in the heaven. That's something significant. So what Avram is concerned about is that I know I'm going to have children, but there is no guarantee that my children are going to be very significant. Maybe they'll just be just lots of plain old dudes, which, you know, I'd say maybe thank you, but I'm not going to be so enamored by having such children. And in fact, the fact that Avram initially had Yishmael, and therein was the big difference, which we'll learn about the controversy, the conflict between Sarah and Avram concerning Yishmael. Sarah read him appropriately and correctly and said, if this is what you had in mind, that God blessed you to have a child, then you're not going very far in terms of maintaining some degree of recognition of your name. It's got to be somebody else. And the same thing with Yaakov and Esav. They also went through that. And as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him, does not get upset with him for asking the question, Mati Tenli, because you answered me previously. But that answer is not terribly satisfactory. Not
to the dust as a numerical.
Of course, that's the simple pshat. Of course. From a pshat point of view, the question remains. How did Avram not trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Ramban said, thought he lost it. Or Achaim says, yeah, it's not exactly the type of people. From a simple pshat of view, the Afar HaAretz is supposed to simply indicate the numbers, the quantity, not the quality. That are going to be thousands and thousands, millions of Jews, that you will not be able to count them, Ka'afar HaAretz. That's a second interpretation. Then take a look a little above is Sfarno, and he writes, Uben Meshek Beisi, Hu Damesek Eliezer, Shehu Eved Bilti Noda Bishmo, Aval Bishem Iro Bilvad. What's the only thing that's known about this Eliezer? Where he comes from? He came from Damascus, Damascus. That's not a great tribute to the person who's going to be inheriting it. So again, it's this fixated on having somebody who will ultimately succeed me, and I'll take it one step further. One step further. At the beginning of this parsha, it was Pasuk Dalid of Perek Yud Bet. Tell me what the Torah emphasizes about Avram's mission. Tell me what the Torah emphasizes about Avram's mission. Look at the beginning of the Parsha. Perek, we spent a lot of time on this Pasuk and have referred to it 50 times. Is it Pasuk Dalid? What is it saying, Gimel? The what? Oh, what is it saying, Gimel? No, stop. Oh, maybe Hey. Hey. Who did he take? Vayika, Avram, Saraycho, Vetlogarachay, who else? Yechon HaNeked, Asher Asu Becharah. Whoa! What are the nefesh asu? His converts. Does anybody know how many other times this group of people is mentioned in Tanakh?
Never.
Zero.
That's why he said that he wasn't.
And the question is, whatever happened to them? Whatever happened? And the answer apparently is that they just they left him. They left him completely. Why did they leave him? Because although you believe in God, the if there's nothing further tangible to demonstrate how you demonstrate your commitment to this God, we feel a little empty-handed. So in terms of what Avraham represented, the founder of monotheism, those people who he impacted initially have suddenly, they've left him. There's never a reference to them again in Tanakh. And many have suggested it's because they abandoned him, they left him alone. And that's why repeatedly when he builds the Mizbeach, what did we point out? The Rav mentioned this. That what does the Torah never tell us that he did at those Mizbechot? He never offered a Korban. What was the purpose of the Vayivan Shem Mizbeach? To do what? You built the Mizbeach to stand on it and to what? To proselytize. That's all he did. And apparently he was a dismal failure. Nobody decided to join him after that initial group, and they dissipated. So hence, Avram is feeling very, very down that my whole work, my life's work, is gone for naught. I don't have any chassidim any longer, and I don't have any children. So that's something that really bothered him. And the only person that he has left is Eliezer, and he didn't become a great Rashka Bahag either. The only thing that you know about him is that he came from Damascus, and that's about it. So that's his point. That's his point. Good. Let's continue. If you will just now go to page 2 for a second. Here is the comment of the Midrash that I wanted to refer you to. Hakol yodim v'omrin b'fihem shehem mesim. All of the avot stated publicly that they know that their time has arrived. Avraham amar v'onochi holech ariri. I am going to what? Be childless. Yitzchak amar v'avorechecha lifnei Hashem lifnei moti.
Also,
what?
He also miscalculated.
Yes, he did. Af Yaakov amar v'shachavti im avosai, and I'm going to be buried with my forefathers, or I want to be buried in my forefathers. Amosai, when did he say this? B'shah shenatalamut, when he was about to die. Now with Yaakov, it exactly happened. The very next episode in the Chumash is that Yaakov calls Yosef to his bed, and he dies. And he says the Birchas Yaakov, and then he dies.
But he was also, he said, Ma'at
v'ra'im. Hayush
Natai. He thought that he was going to die then, originally. Otherwise, how could he know his years were few?
Because he sensed he was going to die. He was only 147.
But he lived more. He lived 17. When he speaks to...
That's correct. According to Rashi, he lives another 17 years. Correct. He was 130 at the time, and he lived till 147. But yet Avraham is going to live 85 more years, almost half his life. And yet he says, according to this Midrash, what does he say? That he said that he was going to die. And what pasuk do they quote by Avraham? What pasuk does the ma? That I don't have children. That's how seriously some people take it. And it hurts. It really hurts sometimes if you can't have a child. It's painful. It feels to the person, him or herself, that as if I'm lost already. It's not worth living. Because the Midrash, citing Avraham at this particular point, he's got another 85 years to live, but the Midrash says he's talking about his death. And what pasuk do you use to confirm it? Anochi holech ariri. At least Yitzchak and Yaakov mention the word death. Yitzchak gets Yaakov to come to him, thinking that's what? That he was Esav. And he says, I want to bless you, lifnei moti. He says, before I die. Yaakov says, before I am buried, v'shachavti im avotai. And he says, hine anochei lamut. That would have been a better pasuk. I'm about to die. He says it, hine anochei lamut. I'm ready to die. By Avram, there's no such pasuk. I'm ready to die. But the mere fact that he feels that he's not going to have children is the equivalent of stating that I am experiencing that type of thought. That type of thought. That was point number two. Point number three. If you go to page number three for a moment, this is the Chizkuni. And he makes a remark about Eliezer. Not just that he was not a Rosh Kibahag, a great Rosh Yeshiva, but look at his last line. Hu Damesek Eliezer. Who was Eliezer? Ben Bino Shel Nimrod HaRashahaya. He was the grandson of Nimrod. Nimrod, we know, is the person who wanted to what? He wanted to kill Avram. And Nimrod was responsible, at least according to the Midrash, of throwing Avraham into the Kivshan Ha'esh, into the cauldron of fire. And Avram escapes, and Haran, Avram's brother, jumps into the fire and gets burnt. It's not in the text, but it's in prime ink space of the Midrash. So Eliezer is his grandson. So what's running through Avraham's mind by this association? That not only am I not going to have any children who will further my ideals, but he's going to bring it back to what? Everything that I tried to accomplish. He's going to bring it back to Nimrod. Somebody's a non-believer in a monotheistic God. And that really spooks Avraham, that the only person who I'm somewhat connected to is Eliezer, and he is the grandson of Nimrod HaRasha. He's the grandson of Nimrod HaRasha. Yes, it's all a Midrash. It's not in the text at all. Yeah. Let's take a look now. Let's go back to the Chumash for a second. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi has three interpretations about Damesek, who Eliezer was. He does not quote the Midrash that I just showed you, but he has three different interpretations. Lefi HaTargum, according to Targum Unkelus, it's Midamesek Haya. It means that, as the simple pshat, Eliezer came from Damascus. Ulefi Midrash Agada, Sheradaf Hamilachim Ad Damesek. Why is he called Eliezer Midamesek? Because in the previous battle, where Eliezer joined Avram with his 318 other people, where did they pursue all of the kings? They pursued him all the way to Damascus. So since they pursued him to Damascus, apparently Eliezer was in charge of that front. We would imagine that when you're fighting five kings, you have to split your gang into various little components. Eliezer is in charge of driving someone, one of the five, until Damascus, and that's what he says. However, Uve Talmud, in the Gemara, they say, Darshu Notrikin. The Gemara says that the word Damesek is not a word at all. It's a Rashay Tevot. It's a mnemonic for something for us to remember. What does it give us to remember? Dole Umashke Mitorat Rabo Le'acherim. What do you think that means?
He's continuing
what? My legacy. He takes my Torah and he draws from it and he passes it on, passes it on to somebody else. So Avram is at least, according to this, he's somewhat thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, you know what? I really would like children. But I want to thank you as well that if I don't have a child, who is it going to be? Ben Meshek, Beisi, Hu Damesek Eliezer. It's at least going to be Eliezer who will make an attempt to further pursue my mission. That's a very unusual way of reading this particular pasuk, but that's how the Gemara interprets Damesek. It's obviously far from the pshat because the Torah doesn't operate that way. That words in the Torah serve as a notrikin, but nonetheless, kacha omer Rashi. Three interpretations. What is that? That's true. You could say that if you wanted to combine the two, yes. If you wanted to, yes.
Maybe Eliezer also converted, like, with all the other people that were in the battle.
There is no doubt that he did convert, but he remains in Eved Le'olam. He is a Gentile who converts and becomes Avram's servant, and a Gentile who converts undergoes some degree of sanctity of Am Yisrael, but he remains an Eved and treated like an Eved. He's not a complete... It's a strange halacha. The halacha of Eved Kna'ani. A Gentile slave in a Jewish home. In fact, we don't even allow it, according to... We always tell you to sell them. Yeah, that's what this Rashi is saying. That he's at least thankful that it's somebody who decided to follow in his footsteps. Yeah, well, that's the simple pshat, yes. That I'm not going to have a son and it's only going to be Eliezer. But that only can be taken in a negative spirit. It's going to be Eliezer. Or at least I'm thankful for the fact that it will be Eliezer. At least it's somebody who... you know, has adopted my values. Those are the two different interpretations which Rashi offers. Yeah. Yeah. Take a look at, again, page 1, Balaturin. I bracketed it for you as well. I've already taught you that the Balaturin, the author of the Tur, son of the Rush, Rabbeinu Asher, his style of commentary on the Chumash is to look for phrases that don't appear very frequently, identify the other times that in Tanakh that particular unusual phrase is found, and establish a thematic link amongst the times in the Tanakh that particular unusual phrase appears. So he writes that the word Ariri only appears twice in Tanakh. And he did this without a concordance. And without a responsa online to look up in Tanakh a word. He just remembered that. And he writes, Beis Bamasoret. There are only two in our tradition. Hacha, here is number one. Ve'idach, and it says in Yirmiyahu, Kitvu et ha'ish hazeh ariri. Kitvu et ha'ish hazeh ariri. So I wasn't lazy, and I looked up the context. Yirmiyahu is bashing people who pay no attention to their children and allow their children to develop in a manner which is hostile and anti-HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yirmiyahu says about them, they are totally, write that person off, Kitvu et ha'ish hazeh ariri. Write that person off as if what? As if he's cut off already. Ariri in the terms of cut off. Why? Because he's done nothing to promulgate amongst, even with his own family, the values that are important and dear to God and to Yirmiyahu the prophet. So such a person should be what? Just written off. Written off. And that was the result. What is the next result which Yirmiyahu was predicting to Am Yisrael at that time? Because many of the people are treated as Ariri. What happens to them? They are exiled. Just as Avram was exiled. Avram exiled from Ur Kasdim, had to travel, and he spent good part of his life wandering around from place to place. So too, Am Yisrael, after Churban Bayit Rishon, will be exiled, and then after Churban Bayit Sheni, even more. So he writes that the word Ariri doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to die without children. His point, the Baal HaTurim, is that Ariri means even if you have a child, but if that child is not interested at all in perpetuating God's will and His way, it's as if you're without a child. And he tells, Yirmiyahu tells Yehoyachin, just write that person off. Any family where the family has not exhibited, made a modicum of effort to transmit and to sensitize their family, but they're interested only in themselves, not interested whatsoever in it, that family, according to the text, should be written off and called Ariri. That's what he wants to add. That's what he wants to add. Yeah. Yeah. Go to page number 5 for a minute. This is the Griz is Rabbi Yitzchak Zev, Rabbi Soloveitchik's uncle, Rabbi Chaim's son, the Rav's father's brother, who was the Brisker Rav in Brisk, and then in Yerushalayim for many years. So he wrote a Perush on Chumash. Now he comments on Sarai later on, which we will learn, that when Avram still can't have children, so what does what he gets? So he tells Sarai, we don't have any kids. So Sarai says, Chamosi Alecha, I'm angry with you. And then what does she propose? Marry Hagar. Ulai Ibaneh Mimena. Maybe I'll be able to build a family through her. So Uberashi, Chamosi Asui Alecha. I am a little annoyed at you, Avram. Why? Ani matil ha'onesh kishehitpalalta lehakadosh baruch hu matiten li va'anochi holech ariri lohitpalalta ela alecha v'haya lecha lehitpalel al shneinu. So, first of all, how does Rashi read our pasuk? No. That's the second point. What's the first point of Rashi? How does he read our words? That it's what? No. That's the way we read it. What are you going to give me? But how is Rashi reading it? And now Sarai is angry the way Rashi just read it. That it's what? This is to be read as a petition. Avram says, Rabbeinu Shelayim, Ma Titen Li, please, give me. Why do I want? What do I want? A child. Why? Anochi Holech Ariri. I don't have any children. That's a different tone. A much different tone of voice than when we read it. How did we read it? If I was a play on Broadway. What have you given me? You promised me a big reward. What's it worth? And I don't have any children. It doesn't sound like a petition or prayer. But Rashi reads into these words, not here, but later on, Rashi reads into these words, read them in a much softer tone. Ma, titen li, please, Rabbi Mishlai, what could you possibly give to me that would make me feel as if I've been rewarded? Nothing else but a child. V'anochi holech hariri. And Sarai is annoyed at him, therefore she says, Hinei chamasi alech. Because you didn't pray for me. You only prayed for what? For yourself to have a child. Not for me. I agree with you. That's why I showed it to you. So he lets us know, v'yesh la'ayin, and he actually questions, Madua be'emet lo hitpalel Avraham gam aleha. What? That's correct. What did Yaakov do when Rachel came to him and said,
what do you want me to do about it?
Ha-hasachas Elohim ani? Am I in places God? Am I in places God? I have plenty of children. I got plenty of children. I have 11 kids already. What do you want from me?
It sounds a little cruel. It does sound a little cruel. There's no doubt. And the Brisker Rav is a little concerned. Why is it that Avram doesn't, if you want to interpret this as Rashi does, that this should be read as a prayer, why doesn't he include Ma titen lanu va'anachnu holchim aririm? That's his question. He doesn't have a very good answer. Tell you that. I'm just raising the question because it puts a totally different spin on the phrase which we read today. Namely, Ma titen li va'anochi holchim aririm. Even the Rashi, though he said it, it's not the pshat. That's Rashi's version. Yes.
Well, Alan, yeah.
Okay, but that reward was based on the fact that he went, he went to save Lot. Sarai didn't go out in battle, I would imagine. She stayed home. So the reward is being given that you acted in a very familial type of way and you defeated those five kings, and I'm going to reward you for that. All right, we'll stop here and we'll continue what the argument will be, the further argument between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which will lead us to the Brit Bein HaBitarim, which is incredibly difficult.